Welcome to Phone Boy Speaks, a short, irregularly produced podcast about whatever happens to be on my mind. This is a good chunk of the conversation I had with Sir Chris Wilson about diet and where he had actually had lost some weight before, and then, you know, life got in the way and gained it back. And I actually think his strategy is pretty sound for getting back to where he wants to be. And I talk about my own weight loss journey and kind of where, at least the modern version. I don't think I got into the when I did Atkins previously, but we do get into a conversation around the Seventh Day Adventists. And that's you know, there's a lot of stuff there, and I'm not a fan of the of their approach. Unfortunately, they also control a lot of science that gets done, and they have a financial interest in, you know, obviously, because they control companies that sell food. So that's a potentially problematic conflict of interest there. So we start off with me talking about my theory on how all of this stuff works with diet and how we can get back to basics and get back to health. The easiest thing to do as far as just getting diet under control is, you know, is, well, first of all, you know, you can decide, we can always say, should you eat mostly meat or mostly plants? I don't want to get into that debate, although I tend to eat mostly meat. That's just me. But animals. Get rid of the fake food, right? So get rid of the sugar, yeah. The grains, and the seed oils. And the seed oils are, yeah. The problem is with seed oils is that seed oils are in everything, and we're eating them in quantities we were never designed to eat them in. Seed oils are a cheap filler. They, a lot of the studies that say fat is bad are actually done with, you know, soybean oil, which is insanely cheap and insanely bad for you. And yeah, but, you know, animal fats are maybe not so bad for you. There are some, you know, avocado is okay. You know, coconut oil is okay. But I generally say that if you eliminate those three things from your diet, and so that generally means avoiding, you know, foods that have more than five ingredients on them. If your mother, you know, your grandmother can't wouldn't have served that, you know, something with those ingredients, you probably shouldn't eat it. That's kind of the idea. There's a lot of fake food out there, so. You know, getting it from, you know, as close to its natural form as possible, and you know, you're probably going to be in better shape. Now, some people might do better with more meat. Some people might do better with more veg, and you have to kind of figure out what that is. But the easiest thing to do is just get rid of all the fake food. And by the way, that also includes artificial sweeteners, which are not really great for you. I actually discovered. I suspected it for a little while, but then I finally confirmed it. I confirmed it, and what I did was
how does the artificial sweeteners work? Because they say they make you, you know, they give you that sweet sensation without any of the calories, but from what I understand is your brain flips over and goes, oh, I've got some calories. Oh, wait, no, I haven't. Better get some more.
It makes you hungry. That's one of the things it does. So I noticed in myself, I know we talked a little bit about addiction earlier, is that that's something I can't have as gum, because most gum has some artificial sweetener in it. And for me, an open pack of gum is an empty pack of gum, because it's like, you know, there's that drive. It's like, oh, it's sweet, but there's no calories. So your body's like, you know, WTF. And so it wants, you know, it wants more. That's a problem. So that causes you to overeat. It also might raise your insulin, and insulin by itself is not a bad thing, but having chronically high levels of insulin is not good. You know, ask somebody with type 2 diabetes. You know, so all of those things are, you know, potentially, so bad. But the thing that kind of killed it for me was I realized if I have too much of whatever it is, that I spend too much time in the bathroom, and not for pleasant reasons.
So, oh,
yeah. The phrase is disaster pants. So,
oh dear.
Yeah.
Does it come with a trigger warning?
No, it doesn't. That's the problem. Yeah, but yes, yeah, so yeah, but I believe it. It may cause anal leakage. Might be the current, the best way to describe that. So, yeah, for me, it's like I mostly just don't have that, and so when I do, it's very obvious that when I do, because and for the next day or two, I'm in the bathroom. Not for pleasant reasons. And so, you know, that's something else to know kind of if you're on the right track is how are you pooping? Now, if you're making a dietary change, that might be something that changes naturally, but it's, that is something that you kind of have to pay attention to if things aren't coming out right, that's a problem. So you do have to pay attention to, so your output is, is dependent on your input. So,
we had a weekend of crap fast food. So, we had Red Rooster and pizza. And so Red Rooster's, I don't know what an equivalent of Red Rooster would be. It's like a McDonald's for chicken kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah.
it's not KFC. It's the KFC you go to. Like it is to KFC what Hungry Jack's here or Burger King is there. To Macca's, McDonald's,
right?
So it was that, and that was like 3 days of shit fast food, and that was one of the things I was like, can't do this. But it was when I jumped on the scales last thing at night, and I looked at my weight, and I went, and this is after finding out, so look, you may be on TV, and Kylie said, TV puts 10 kilos on you. I thought, well, better lose 10 kilos then. And I look bad enough already. And it's like I said, it's not so much. I don't really give it too much of a hoot of anybody who's seen my mug on No Agenda Social or occasionally on the tweeters. I'm fairly shameless, but it was more for her and her friends and people. I don't want to cause too much embarrassment for her, so she's a keeper. You look for three things in a woman. You look for intelligence, you look for sanity, and you look for good looks, and if you're lucky, you usually only get to choose any two. I was very lucky. I got all three, and I'm not letting this one go at all.
Well, there you go.
Very blessed, thank you. So when I jumped on the scales, 99.9 kilos.
99999.
And that's what I had to say. 999. Yeah, you can edit in jingle bits.
Well,
if you wish.
Maybe. Again, that's maybe. Actual work. What are you talking about? 99999.
Yeah, I saw it at 999, and that's when I went, okay. And the best time to start your New Year's resolution is in October, and I thought, I'm getting a few months in before. So it was 15 years since I did my last big, big purge, and that was where I lost 85 kilos, and that was 15 kilos. What was it? Yeah. 80, yeah, that's right. Yeah. 15 kilos of fat and 60 kilos of misery.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I was turning 40, so I'm 55, double nickels. I was turning 40 at the time, and I was playing basketball, and I said, I want to be as fit as anybody half my age. I did that, and I got back to playing. I never got to play A grade. I got to referee A grade, and I got to and Premier League, and I got to play the B grade barbecue where the guys from Premier League, and that came down. So I was in my 40s playing against guys I used to play against when I was playing rep in my much, much younger years. But that's another story.
Yeah. Unfortunately, your age doesn't, the age is a number, but it's, I'm probably fitter now than I was certainly when I was a teenager.
I was as fit as I was when I was a teenager at my fittest. The thing that actually knocked me off my perch both times was almost like a chronic fatigue. I was running 5 kilos, I was sitting about 85. I dropped myself down about 81 at the leanest for half a day, and then the muscle started to bulk on. Not a lot, just enough to sort of give me a bit of definition and give me, I mean, certainly I was able to squat 2.5 times my strength, my weight, at the time. And that was a free squat. And that was, I did it once and I didn't want to do it again. It did 3 reps. That was enough for me. But, I doubt that I could do that these days. I was quite peaked up then. But I was also playing in a band, also working with a friend in Singapore. So I'd get up early to do my own stuff. Then I'd worked with a mate in Singapore. And so I'd finished, you know, I wasn't getting enough sleep. And then I got the flu and I never got better from the flu. I ended up with these antibodies and they tried all sorts of things. I'd spend about 6 weeks lying on the couch, keeping the cat off the couch, while I had like a migraine headache, not so much a headache per se, but just this blob, like putting a hand in front of your eyes. So you can sort of see around the peripherals, but you can't focus on anything in front of you. And I had about 1.5 hours to work in the morning, and then I'd need 4 or 5 days, and I'd come good in the afternoon for a little while and try and take myself out for a bit of a walk. And I'd come back stuffed. And they just did blood tests after blood tests looking for things. And all they could say is you've got a higher white blood cell count. It looks like some sort of, apologize for the thing firing up again. It looks like some sort of, you've had the flu, or you've had something, but you know, your body's still reacting. The only thing that got me going was Kylie was having some issues at the time with sinus, and she went and saw a naturopath. She'd been to see all these experts, and somebody said, "Oh, just go see this naturopath. She's pretty good." Who said, "Look, liver function detox, do this, do that." So she took a couple of days off work, took some powders, hashtag anal leakage, went straight through her, cleaned her out, and then we both stripped back on the diet, and then took almost everything out except some very basic vegetables, you know, like barely cooked raw vegetables, and then slowly introduce things like fish. I think tofu was on the menu. We did that a couple of times, but not too much. Then, you know, brown rice, and then after 2 weeks of that, she hit the iron crash. So she took the fab irons, and then we went out and we had steak and salad, and then it slowly introduced meats. But we were introducing, pretty much just went back to food. If you can't catch it or pick it, chances are we weren't eating it. And she lost 2 dress sizes. So Australian dresses, so she went from like a 10 to 12 to a 6 to 8 in terms of her dress size, depending on the thing. And
yeah, well, dress sizes are a lie, just much like pant sizes for men are a lie, but.
Yeah, with the same style, with the same label, so she dropped 2. So they like from 8 to 10, like from the dresses or the stuff she's wearing that she would wear a 10, she had to go back and get a 6. So yeah. That was pretty impressive. That was really impressive. Yeah. And where we were living, we in Randwick, Coogee, there's a massive hill down to the beach. It's quite a vertical drop, and she was able to run all the way up there, and I don't ever remember her being able to do that before that day, and it definitely cleared that chronic fatigue thing that I had. It took 4 weeks or 6 weeks, but you know, after that I was able to run again. Anyway, but life got in the way and I just turned to shit.
Well, nice. Sounds like you need to go back to that, though. I mean,
I need to go back to it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
exactly.
To me, that sounds like, okay, yeah, it's just get, so, you know, if you went to a naturopath or like a, you know, functional medicine doctor in the States, that's something that I think if the model of medicine, at least in the US, is you might get 5 minutes with your doctor, and about all they have the time to do is prescribe you some pills.
And
for a while I was kind of upset at doctors because they weren't giving, you know, great advice. But then you just kind of look at the system and you realize that they're as much a victim of it as we are. It's run by insurance companies that are looking to maximize profit and, you know, and your health be damned as far as that goes. And so so you have to take responsibility, whether, you know, whether you're in the American system or, you know, or a socialized system or something in between, you have to take responsibility for your health. You can't rely on your doctors to figure out what's going on. You have, and you know, the wonderful thing is there's so much information out on the internet these days as far as, you know, what approaches can work, what approaches, you know, can't work, and so on. And it's like that, this is how I found Jason Fung. It was actually somebody I was talking to on another social network about that, you know, because my weight had gotten up to 150 kilos and I was, you know, 330 pounds. Or as I think I said on when I was recording with Vinny Tortorich, I think I said I got up to 333.3 pounds. Exactly. Magic number. It's cause at a certain point I actually stopped tracking it because it was just too depressing. I'm sure it was a little bit more than that, I say the official top of it was 330 pounds.
Impressive.
It's impressive to have lost that and to have kept it off, but it is. But you know, when I went through my own, you know, cause you know, I mean, honestly, what had happened to me was, you know, I knew my health was not that great because I was starting to have migraines and I was I was actually like my feet were swelling and that kind of thing. And that's not great. What sort of caught it was I had to go to the doctor to get a yellow fever vaccine because of how I was flying to South Africa, in case they decided to stop me. And so I'm like, okay, well, I better. So it's been a while since I've been to the doctor. I guess I should go. They do the standard series of tests. And now, so this is something you have to be aware of in general is by the time your doctor tells you you have type 2 diabetes, you've had it for a while. Because the way they check it is so that the kind of the first screening that they do is they check, you know, they tell you to fast and they get your fasting blood sugar. Now, if it's your fasting blood sugar can still be like in normal range, but because they don't check your insulin, which is really what they should be checking, it could be suppressed by chronically high insulin. And at a certain point, your insulin, you know, your body becomes, you know, resistant to the insulin that is continually in your system. And so, you basically have to stop inputting things that are causing the insulin to keep firing off in your body. And then you have to kind of let it get out, right? Eventually it's going to die down because your body, it's like, okay, I don't need insulin because I'm not getting sugar to, you know, or not getting this energy that I have to do something with. And insulin's the thing that tells your body to store this energy that's coming in, and it's of the carbohydrate variety. That's what insulin does, you know, for the most part. It's an energy storage thing, but it's also your body kind of bulks up on it to an extent, but after a while, your fat cells and, you know, they run out of room, right? It's like a suitcase. That's actually the analogy Dr. Jason Fung uses. He said, your fat cells are like a suitcase and that you can continue to stuff them with more and more energy. But at a certain point, you can't stuff the suitcase anymore. And so then, it has to go somewhere else. And so there's, if you just have belly fat, for instance, that's potentially problematic, but where it's more problematic is when the fat is around your organs. And that is, you know, and that fat is, yeah, that fat causes major issues. I mean, think of it this way, right? If you've ever had foie gras, which is, it's basically, it's a fatty duck liver, right? They take these ducks and they basically feed them grains, they force feed them grains and then they make their livers nice and nice and fat and everything. And then you eat them and they're very tasty. So if you think about the standard American diet, we're basically force feeding ourselves grains and therefore, you know, what are we doing to our livers, right? So they call it non-alcoholic fatty liver disease for a reason. And that's because, that's what happens when, if you drink too much alcohol, they eventually there's scarring, you know, they call it cirrhosis. Right. And so, and by the way, I learned this from Dr. Robert Lustig is that, is that the sugar and alcohol have very similar effects. So there are some acute effects of alcohol, right? You get drunk and, you know, there's some things and some other bad things that happen from that. But all of the chronic effects of both alcohol and sugar are exactly the same. So and neither are good. And yes, it does, you know, so
I was going to say, I too have woken up bereft of my pants with a Nick the Rat tattoo on my bare buttocks. But anyway,
yeah, that's a different discussion. Yes. So so actually, and there are people that are have type 2 diabetes that are not overweight. I mean, the majority of people that have type 2 diabetes are overweight or obese or, you know, whatever term you want to use. But there are some that you would look at and they go, okay, why do you have type 2 diabetes? You're thin as a rail. Well, that's part of that is because they don't have the ability to do, you know, they can't, their fat cells around, you know, in their, you know, under their skin, their subcutaneous fat is, you know, can't store a lot of stuff. And so that means they have a lot of fat around their organs. And that's where it's deadly, right? And in fact, when you start eating right and you stop eating all the sugar and the grains and the seed oils, that's actually where you might lose the weight first. You may not lose it around your belly, but and in fact, you may not even lose a whole lot of weight at all. But within days, you know, you can essentially reverse type 2 diabetes just by eating right. And you know, that's actually what's going to kill all of our, you know, I mean, we talk about COVID and all these other things. It's actually the fact that we're the majority of, I'd say, people in, you know, that eat standard American diet or variations thereof, you know, those are the people that are at high, you know, higher risk for something bad happening. It's because, their immune system, their body's in this kind of continually, you know, it's continually trying to fight off all the stuff that's happening.
Away from bats and stay away from carbohydrates.
Well, now I think if you're metabolically broken, staying away from carbohydrates is probably a good thing, but the source does kind of matter to a point, is that because if you look at some of the diets that some people eat, you can eat a certain amount of carbs and it's okay. But if you're metabolically broken, you know, for sure getting rid of carbohydrates is probably going to help you. And so there's a spectrum of it, I guess. But, you know, if you're getting your carbohydrates from cruciferous vegetables and maybe the occasional, in season fruit, then you're probably okay. Now, of course, wasn't there a story in Australia that they stopped feeding, fruit from the, you know, from grocery stores to the zoo animals because they were getting like their teeth were rotting or, you know, something like that. I vaguely remember a story about that.
I'll have to research that.
Yeah, but there is fruit for humans has been bred to be, you know, sweet. You know, I mean, even if we're not genetically modifying it, we're still, you know, selectively breeding stuff. And so, because we want sweeter things, right? This is how they're getting people to buy the certain fruit they're making it sweeter and sweeter. And you know, when you're not eating sugar all the time and, you know, you're not eating things that are super sweet and everything, and you get basically desensitized to sugar, when you have something that's like naturally sweet, that's maybe not got a ton of sugar in it, it's going to taste so much better. Like even today I went out and picked, it's the end of blackberry season and we're getting into the fall here in the Pacific Northwest. And and I went out and picked a few blackberries they grow like weeds around here. So I picked a few and there were a couple, you know, there were a couple overripe ones and, you know, so there, but it was a mix of, you know, like, okay, maybe this could have grown another day or so, versus, okay, that's a little bit, that's probably gone off, but but even with that, it's like, okay, it's not that sweet and it's okay. It's like, okay, that's satisfying enough. Right. And, you know, not to say that anything that grows from the ground, right, is going to necessarily be good for you. I mean, because, you know, arsenic's a plant, right? So and that kills you. So that's probably and I look at it as, okay, plants, the only way plants can defend themselves is by using chemical warfare, because, you know, that they can't run away from you like the way that a deer or, you know, or a ruminant animal can.
Monsanto is really run by alien vegetables. There you go.
Well, there you go. now we get the crackpots theories in here, of course.
Yeah. Combined with the lizard people.
Well, exactly.
There's something going on. Look, you can eat the bugs and, we'll take care of the humans.
Anyway. Exactly. But I think getting back to the way we used to handle food, I mean, you know, you can actually, you know, this is one of those movies I would also, so I don't know if it's available in Australia, but if you've got Amazon Prime, you can go watch Fat, a documentary by Vinny Tortorich also. That's a great, you know, it's a documentary.
Torrance.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, or that way. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's lots of ways. There's lots of ways to see the movie. But actually, Gary Fetke from Tasmania is in this movie also. Mm. They actually prevented him from, he wanted to actually make people better because he would basically be the guy they call in to do when, you know, because if you let type 2 diabetes go and you eventually end up getting neuropathy in your limbs and they have to be chopped off because they basically rot.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
And so, and he was like, you know, I don't want to chop people's limbs off, you know, we can. And so he tried to advise patients like, yeah, eat low carb and I won't have to chop your limbs off. Well, you know, the medical establishment didn't like that. And so they tried to silence him. And so now, meanwhile, his wife, Belinda was, you know, they couldn't silence her. So,
yeah.
And so she went in and dug into the, you know, and she dug into a lot of the stuff and the science and also dug into the, you know, the Seventh Day Adventists, which, by the way, are, you know, behind many processed food companies. And
oh, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, so the story about the Seventh Day Adventists is that Ellen G. White had a premonition that said that she shouldn't eat it, that you shouldn't eat anything with a face. Well, you know, back then they apparently thought that, you know, they didn't think that she was crazy. They, you know, they took her seriously and, you know, of course anybody did that today, they'd take you away to the loony bin, or maybe give you a talk show. I don't know. but,
bit of both.
Yeah. Or both. Exactly. So we had a
talk show from the loony bin. There is an idea.
Yeah.
Go and interview loony bin people. And
exactly.
Let them run their little 5 minutes of YouTube.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I guess we'd have to get Professor Ted on, you know, if we're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. In Australia, the company that is run by the Seventh-day Adventists is a sanitarium.
Yes.
You know.
Weet-Bix.
Yeah. You know, your Kellogg's and so forth. And so- And you know, and you've also, you know, you also hear about Loma Linda universities and you know, as well, right? So they're, so,
that's right, yeah.
And they're, you know, you want to talk about religion, right? The religion, you know, so they have a religious belief that thou shalt not eat meat. And so all of the science that they sponsor is, you know, it's all about, you know, eating vegetable, you know, basically not eating animals. And so, you know, they're all in on, you know, basically vegan or vegetarian or whatever, right? And so
knowing SDA, Seventh-day Adventists,
yeah.
I know SDA farmers who breed cattle and/or sheep. It's a mixed bag. It is a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Here in Australia. I have been to Seventh-day Adventist functions where it's been all essentially vegetarian to vegan. And then I've been to others where they've had, they've had the usual vegetarian, meat substitutes and, as well as, you know, lamb, beef, no pork. They definitely do not eat pork. That's one thing I never saw at any of those.
Thanks for listening to Phone Boy Speaks. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found.